I'm picturing, you know, have you ever tried to take a beach ball and hold it under the water at the pool? You can hold it there, mm-hmm. but you can only hold it for so long. Right. You're going to have to eventually, you're going to get tired.
I'll take that
challenge, it's going to explode.
I'll take that challenge on.
I'll take you on. Next week's episode will be in the pool. I will not be wearing a sniglet or whatever you call it.
Sniglet.
Oh, man. I'm going to call it that from now on. A sniglet.
I won't be in a Speedo or a sniglet or a singlet.
Gosh. Oh, Lord. How are we going to get through this episode?
Holy. Sure.
But there was a pressure.
Yes.
Things had been suppressed for so long that humanity could no longer suppress it.
That's a taste of changes. This week's episode of The Wise Guys, a podcast that unleashes the unthinkable in culture, religion, business, and everyday life. So it's time to step over the line, strap in, and let's see if you are willing to let Mac and the team take you to a place of thinking differently.
Okay, welcome to The Wise Guys, a podcast where we unleash the unthinkable and step over the line to help us see things differently and usher in a new renaissance centered around creativity, spiritual depth, and what do we say we're going to change this to, God? A passion to make it happen. We said that earlier today. We're kind of changing things up a little bit here. So welcome to the podcast. Hey, wise guys, and I got a new look tonight. You like the lid?
I like it.
What do you think?
It is a sweet lid. You're looking good, Mac. Huh? Looking good, Mac.
Yeah, you're changing things up a little, and it looks changing slick.
Changes.
That's
Wait, what's the name of this episode?
Yeah, there you go. That,
there it is.
It's already the lead in right there. Okay, Bowie. So, yeah, I kind of like the lid. I think I'm going to adopt this sort of.
I like the look.
We went to dinner over the weekend, and I was talking to Natalie about it, and I was going to want to wear it out, and she was like,
please don't.
Not where we're going. No, don't. Please don't do that. Okay, that's all right.
You going Italian?
No, we weren't. If we were going to go over there to Chicago's or to the Italian restaurant, I would have said, "Oh no, this is going to fit right in." So, watching us on YouTube, if you can, you know, watch the video, then you're going to be able to see my new look, man. So I'm loving it.
My wife won't let me wear the clown nose either. It's just, anyways, nowhere.
No kidding. Imagine that. So here we are.
I've been trying to wear my singlet to this podcast, but you guys won't let me.
Please, that'll be so distracting. We couldn't handle it, Stu. You put us to shame, okay? But welcome. I'm Mac, the host, and I got my wise guys. I got the ref.
I'm ready to take one step at a time across the line.
Here we are. Okay, Coach Stu.
I'm ready to talk about the perpetual state of change that I live in.
Whoa,
did I just get too
little
serious right there out of the
just
gate?
Went, woo.
She's ready to go,
man.
But let me say hello to everybody. Hello, all you beautiful exotic cocktails who are on the road to change. Because it's happening, whether you want it to or not.
That's
it's just
right.
a matter if you're going to embrace it or not.
You got to take the red pill, right? Take the red pill.
People get ready. The trains are coming. It's going to pass you by.
That's it. We're looking for those that are going to want to jump on. You know, it'll be fun. So, all right, what do we call this podcast? It's called The Wise Guys, right? And so I'm looking to the two of you for some wisdom, right? I mean, I should be able to, right? I mean, they're looking to us for wisdom out there.
Yeah. Okay, Coach, we're counting on you.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Here we go.
You know, I've had this little dilemma this week, guys. You know, my wife, I consider her, you know, she's beautiful. And I was convicted a little bit that I probably didn't tell her that enough. You know, I kind of got just, you know, I'm just, okay, she needs some of that. I think women love that kind of stuff. So I kind of set the stage. I kind of got her, you know, we got a little intimate moment, that kind of stuff. And I looked her right in the eye, you know, and I said, girl, you're like a car accident. You know, I can't look away. And that didn't quite get the response that I wanted.
She didn't get past car accident.
Yeah. No, as a matter of fact, she took my hand, brought me down the basement, and helped me unfold the couch down in the basement. Okay, so I'm really not sure what I'm doing wrong, but I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Okay,
maybe start with the end and then go back to the car accident part.
Honey, when I think of you, I think of a car accident. Yeah.
That's not going to get too much romance going on in the house.
Well, I mean, I can't look away. I thought that would snag her, but it didn't. So there you are, gang. I mean, this is the kind of wisdom that you're going to get from us. I'm sorry, but is kind of where we're coming from. Sorry.
At least they'll know what not to say.
Well, that might be true.
Oh, I got lots of experience there. I got a long resume on the wrong things.
Well, hopefully Nat will appreciate this, and she'll forgive me and
So, welcome to the Wise Guys, saving Mac's love life.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. I'm already dug into the hole. So we're talking about change. Stu's already kind of, given us a little bit of a lead-in. We talk about this in every episode. It's part of our lead-in. We call it a new renaissance, if you will, that we really believe that, number one, we are on the cusp of, that's already begun to happen in many ways. And really want to help further it. We want to find the red pill folks that are willing to lean in, that are already leaning in, and maybe we can convince some of you out there to take the pill and to become part of the Rogue Nation and part of this movement that's already happening, gang. It's exciting. I mean, you know, without a doubt, right? We're looking forward to it.
So how do people know that they're in the right place right now? How do they know this is where they're going to get what they need?
Yeah.
I have some questions that might help them.
Uh-oh.
Bring it on.
There it is. Do I have to answer?
So are you one of these people? You can answer.
Oh, okay.
I mean, right. You can answer if you want. I mean, are you one of these people who find yourself feeling restless or dissatisfied, curious in life? Do you have questions? Let me just stop it there. Do you have questions?
What? Huh?
Are you? And secondarily to that, are you allowed to ask your questions?
That's part of the key, right there, isn't it?
Yeah. Are you gutsy enough to ask the question?
That too.
Yeah. Well, there you are. I mean, we talked, and this word angst kind of came up in the field this week, but we've talked about it in terms of a word called the UGG. We've talked about this for years, that we all have in our lives UGGs. And yet, how often do we address them, confront them if need be, look to try to turn that around or change it for good, whatever it might be. But what do we do with that UGG in our life? Could be religiously, could be politically, could be culturally, could be relationally, right?
I call it divine discontent. The UGG for me is there's something stirring and moving in the world. There's a wave about to crest, and I don't know where it is, what is going on, but most people just ignore it. Push it aside, try to just pretend it isn't there, and then the wave goes on without them.
Yeah.
And they miss something holy and sacred and beautiful.
Yeah.
But God's stirring.
Could be great. Yeah.
Sometimes absolutely. God shows up as the uncomfortableness.
Uh-oh. And we so got to be what? Comfortable,
comfortable
with that.
Being
that uncomfortableness. Absolutely.
You know, I feel like a lot of us are, I'm going to use the word again, perpetually living in your teenage years, right? Because think about many people, your teenage years, what'd you have feelings of? Dread, anxiety, anguish. Like, oh my gosh, if I wear this today, what's going to happen?
It will be the end of the world.
If I say this, if I don't get a date to homecoming or prom, my life is over.
Kill me now.
So, I mean, you translate that into adulthood. I mean,
sometimes we haven't made the transition, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe just in our years.
But that's the angst you're talking about.
Yeah,
like,
you're
people
right.
have angst right now.
Oh, absolutely. So we talk about a new renaissance. So let's do a little bit of a history lesson here as we set the stage. Well, what are we talking about when we talk about something like a resonance, okay? And a renaissance to a resonance. No, that's not right. A resonance to a renaissance. Okay. So, again, let's go back.
Say it again, three times fast.
That was hard enough right there, man, let me tell you, okay? So, we all, if you took history and you even have a concept of the Renaissance that took place, in the 14, around 1400 in the 15th century, there was a huge change culturally. There was a huge change in the world. And you have to say to yourself, well, what again, we're not going to go into a whole big history lesson here, but we are going to talk about some of the forces maybe that caused that renaissance. And I really think it's going to be easy to connect some dots here, all right, to say, hey, I think history might repeat itself a little bit, all right, and that we have sort of the soup, the sauce, in order to be able to call what's going on right now an enlightening and a renaissance. So again, let's talk about 1300s. We had, everybody knows about this, right? The plague, the Black Death, right? Mm-hmm. The bubonic plague changed across Europe, the whole economic picture, demographically, everything. A bunch of people died, all right? And really, you might think it's tragic, which it was. I'm not saying
it was like over 50% right, of was, the yeah. people over there. About that.
That's right.
That's a lot of people.
And it wasn't necessarily discriminatory, kind of like our COVID here wasn't. But at the same time, you can look at the statistics and more peasants and the worker bee type people, perished as opposed to, but was certainly not exclusive to, the more wealthy. But what it did is it created an economic condition for the wealthy that kind of opened up some things that just weren't happening throughout the 14th century. And so now you had this kind of perfect storm of wealth and opportunity, and there was a revival. There was a revival starting sort of with finding Greek literature and began to look to the classics, and all of a sudden, some of the wealthy people, the Medicis in particular in Florence, started to gather people, gather creatives. There we go. We talk about a Renaissance, and it's grounded in creativity. They began to call creatives and could afford to do that because they could pay them. All right. I mean, there's part of the economic thing in this whole thing. And so now you get people coming together, the synergy of conversation, of work, of ideas. I mean, think about this. Let me give you a little bit of a list of the people that came out of this period of time.
And before you list these names, you said creativity and ideas. There had to be challenge. There has to be challenge with your ideas.
Yeah.
It's not the same-o. Right. You're going to read some names of people who really pushed the envelope.
Right. And what was it they got? They were given the opportunity and the environment to be able to say, no, the earth is not the center of the universe. The sun is. There's Copernicus.
Yeah, right.
All right? So how about Copernicus, Da Vinci, Erasmus, Galileo, Hobbes, Chaucer, Dante, Shakespeare, Michelangelo? We're all familiar with these names. And we step back and we go, oh my gosh, how could it be that much creativity and brilliance and talent could come together over a certain period of time? It's amazing. I mean, it's truly amazing. But we were ready. We were ready to come out of the darker time where a lot of this stuff was suppressed. The church had control of much of the culture and society and economics, and they dictated it from their point of view, and it suppressed a lot of stuff. I mean, it just kept a lid on all the stuff that could come up.
I'm picturing, have you ever tried to take a beach ball and hold it under the water of the pool? You can hold it there, but you can only hold it for so long.
Right.
You're going to have to eventually. You're going to get tired.
I'll take that challenge.
It's going to explode.
I'll take that challenge on.
I'll take you on. Next week's episode will be in the pool.
That's it.
I will not be wearing a sniglet or whatever you call it.
Sniglet. Oh, man. I'm going to call it that from now on. A sniglet.
I won't be in a Speedo or a sniglet or a singlet.
Gosh. Oh, Lord. How are we going to get through this episode?
Holy.
I'm not sure.
But it is. There was a pressure.
Yes.
Things had been suppressed for so long that humanity could no longer suppress it.
For almost 1,000 years.
Yep.
I mean, from the time the Roman Empire almost left Britain and started to draw back toward Rome, a lot of that stuff just went away.
Well, Megan, individually, you've been had a call for change in your heart and your soul for a long time, and you try to keep it at bay. It's not there. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I don't want to rock the boat. and eventually it's going to explode.
Yeah.
So you might as well cooperate with the movement as opposed to the explosion, because sometimes the creativity, it not controlled, can be a dangerous thing.
Well, the good thing, too, is, yeah, and again, we read off all those names, right? Those, they didn't operate, you know, in seclusion. They weren't islands in the midst of all of this. They collaborated depending upon the period of time in their lives, and, you know, not all of them at the same time. But the point was there was a synergy. There was a synergy created, and then it drew more creatives. I mean, this is just a smattering of the biggest names, you know? Yes.
You put an idea out there, you put a painting out there, a song out there, a poem, and people read it and go, maybe I can do that.
Right.
And then change begins to happen. One person at a time, the collective grows in intensity.
That's it.
Do you think they inspired each other?
Well, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
No doubt about it.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, think about that.
They competed a little bit in some ways, some of them, especially some of the artists, but at the same time, it was good competition.
Right.
It was good. You know.
You guys say such smart things here at this table. Like, man, I got to come up with smarter stuff to stay. You make me a better person, a better man, because you're so smart.
Oh, bro, you know, we sit at your feet a lot of the time, too, brother.
Maybe we'll be on this list, like, you know, a thousand years from now.
Okay,
you
know, like Dante,
like Coach
the
Stu.
Rev, Mac, yeah. Coach Stu.
There it is.
Remember?
But these videos will be, you know, part of posterity, all right? So, you know, so we've got this soup, we've got this little cauldron, we've got a magnet drawing a bunch of creatives. Now, it could be a place, it could be an idea, it could be a movement, but what helped further this as well was one of the biggest inventions of modern times for sure, and that's the printing press.
Oh, yeah.
And so now, again, we talked about connecting dots between then and now. So what can we connect the dot to now? Right? Not the printing press. We already got one. Right? The internet.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
How we can disseminate information quickly, just like the printing press did, you know, in the 1500s, right?
Change cannot be kept at bay anymore.
Right.
Information is instantly accessible.
That's exactly right. So we, again, that was then, this is now, but there are a lot of similarities. There just are, okay? And another big thing that came out of that time was the idea of God, right? How can we now begin to think, or can we even begin to express a more humanistic view of the world as opposed to just just deism, just having a God that's in control of everything? And I'm not saying you throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? But at that point, it was a big pushback. It was, humanism had been suppressed for so long, thinking, the between the ears stuff, the rational, the intelligence, the free thought, which just wasn't there for over more than 1,000 years, really. But
well, think about it. Because of the printing press, Martin Luther became a best-selling author.
He did.
Right? Yeah. He did.
He did.
Best-selling and very unpopular in many circles.
I mean, but because the Bible, you know, got printed and such.
In different languages, too.
In different languages.
And, yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's amazing. Like, and, you know, so what's great about that is we get to – all that was what, word of mouth, I guess,
until
at the
then.
Time
yeah.
until then, and then we started getting it printed and because of the printing press. But here's the other thing that happened back then that you could translate to today with the internet and especially with social media and such. Fringe voices got a platform.
Mm.
Yep.
There you go.
Marginalized voices got a platform.
Yeah, great point.
They got a platform, and boy, do they have a platform today.
Well, and who do you think the change agents typically are? The marginalized, the fringes, the ones that are on the edge, as we talk about, the ones who took the red pill, all right? That's who are the people that can now truly move the needle, you know, which is super exciting because, again, gang, we're here. We're here. We wake up to this. Do you want some of that or not? And we're not the only place that you're going to hear this and see this, but hopefully we can stimulate it a little bit to enter into the fray, to get passionate, right? We're going to talk about.
Bob Dylan gave the challenge with the song. You remember the song, The Times They Are A-Changin'? Uh-huh. I mean, of course, come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept that, soon you'll be drenched to the bone if your time to you is worth saving. We either on board with the shifts and the waves and the changes over drowning.
So when did that Dylan song come out? I'm guessing. I don't know exactly, but when was the 60s?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
The 60s, and there was huge social change going on during the 60s, right?
Well, and again, in the song, he talks about it's the writers and the critics. They are the one. The creative minds have got to be the ones that lead the charge because mm-hmm. they're usually the marginalized.
Right.
They're the ones that are the change agents. He also talks about in that song senators and congressmen. It's got to be at the government level.
Yeah.
You see, the change can't come from one faction of life. It has to come from all factions. That means being like Martin Luther and taking the piece of paper and nailing it on every door you can possibly get it onto. Mm. Something wants to happen that's different.
You know, so that's a really great picture, isn't it? That take a look at everybody's, you know, cell phone as a piece of paper, mm-hmm. as a door.
A doorway.
That you can narrow, you can nail whatever to it, mm-hmm. you know, not good and bad, right?
Right.
But, right. But the opportunity is out there. And blending even more so today, I think, more so today, what we've lost is a lot of humanistic approach to life, the thinking, the pondering, the intelligence, the willingness to stand up and have a, not even want to call it a debate, but engaging, meaningful conversation.
Has the world become unsafe? To say things like, have you thought of this? Or have you considered? Or what about this angle or this view? I think that we're afraid. We don't want to offer those opinions because, boy, they get squashed down.
Well, exactly.
The Inquisition is going to happen if I put the new idea out there. And some of those names didn't have a timely end. Well, not have a true. Very good end because they did it.
That's so right. We just need more courageous people to, to be able to say these things in a way that maybe doesn't confront, if it's even possible. There's a way to say things to somebody. The best constructive criticism to me is where I feel good after it's done.
Well,
it's not being said to hurt or harm, but to informational, expand. To inspire, to, well, so maybe if we could do that.
That's a great point. Yeah, I think you take the you're wrong. All right, you take that out of the equation and you just offer the alternative, mm-hmm. okay?
But be unattached to the response to it. Because, I said, there's nothing mean about have you thought or have you considered, but then be unattached. I'm going to nail this onto your door through my phone or through whatever vehicle. You can tear it down, you can throw it away, you can burn it, or you can read it. But mm-hmm. I'm unattached. I'm just going to keep the seeds out there and keep planting them.
See, this is a big problem right now. People are missing this.
Yep. Yep.
And they're not willing to listen or consider. So to Rev's point, I could hear something he says to me and decide, I don't have any use for that.
Exactly.
But I'm doing myself a disservice if I don't listen.
Right.
Because I can guarantee you what will happen if I discount it at that moment after he has said, I've listened, he said it to me, I discount it. Late, the way my life works, probably the next day or 3 a.m, something's going to hit me, and I'm going to be, the Rev said that. Like,
don't call me at 3:30 and let me know.
If it comes from you, you're getting a phone call from me.
Well, but here's the key point, and let's make this point before we take a break. The key point there is you thought about it, okay?
Yeah.
Whatever it was, you decided that it was worth thinking
well, I
about.
Just allowed myself to let it in without thinking it's going to harm me, without being afraid,
right?
And having the courage to say, you know what, this isn't going to harm me. Let me let it in.
Well, you know what takes courage is the humility. You may not initially agree with what I said, but you're willing to think about it because you're humble enough to know that, there's room for growth. There's room for more. And I get the same from the two of you guys. You say something, it's like, that doesn't resonate, but let me think about it. Mm. That takes a great deal of humility.
Wait a minute. And that's what the world needs. There's no way that's happened.
I'm humbled every day in my life.
What a great word, though. Hello. you know, this is part of how you can cultivate where we're talking, what we're talking about and where we're going here. All right. So, you know, yes, the official, Reformation, not the Reformation, the Renaissance ended, if you want to call it that. And it's hard to pinpoint all this kind of stuff. But the church got pissed, right? The church finally said enough is enough. And they clamped down on a lot of, as the Rev's already mentioned, a lot of those people that we already mentioned in that list, you know, had a pretty tough time of it. And they started the Inquisitions, and they really took that whole movement and really just tried to chop its head off. But here's the thing. Yeah, they tried, and they did to some extent kind of, you know, diminished what was going on, but there's no way that it's gone, and it left a lasting impression on us as a Western culture, without a doubt, you know, and we live today because of all of that. All right. So let's not forget that. Now let's come back in the second half here, maybe, and talk about our rebirth, our Renaissance. What are the things today that, as the wise guys, we're kind of promoting, or the lens that we're looking at it through, and see how we can cultivate it a little bit more. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear so far? Join us in the Rogue Nation by going to our website, www.gorogue.life, where you will find links to our social media and podcast channels, posts on the Seeing Differently blog, and a way to subscribe to all our happenings. We encourage you to become a member of our cafe, where you can interact with us and fellow Roguers and keep the conversation going. Please share us and like us. And now, let's get back to our wise guys.
All right, welcome back to the Wise Guys podcast. Where in this episode, we are talking about Renaissance, changes, things that are already starting to move. And it made me think about one of our wise guy wisdom memes. You know, we try to push a lot of these out. If you're paying attention to our website and our Facebook page, you know, we try to push these things out very regularly as they come to us. So here's the one that I kind of tied in, a little bit of wise guy wisdom. What got you here is not going to get you there. It's not going to get you there. So all we want to do, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. We're just going to throw out the little nugget there. Any little comments about that, guys? Things that kind of strike you when we say that?
There's going to come a time, if you're growing and evolving, where all the information and the wisdom that got you to the point you're at is no longer needed. You got to put the boat down and find a new way.
Yep. There it is. It's inevitable, right? Because if you keep using the same stuff that got you here, changes? I don't think so. Okay.
And it's choices.
You know, you wrote in our notes, changes are upon us, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could have written that in any decade, any century, any time in life, right? It's always happening. So it's do we try to fight them, or do we maybe be proactive and encourage, and maybe, you know, make change happen,
yeah,
right? Instead of being behind it, being on top of it.
Well, we get complacent. We've talked about this a lot, that a lot of times, especially with our lifestyles and things that we do, we're fine with the way things are, right?
And are we really fine with the way things are? We tell ourselves that, but that angst is there. But we just don't want to admit it.
I've got the ache.
I've got the ugh. I've got the divine discontent, but I don't want to talk about it.
Quit poking the bear, Rev. Come on, man. I mean, you're right. I got that angst right here in my side. All right.
No, I'm fine with the way everything is.
So here we go. So let's talk about what the wise guys talk about when it comes to a Renaissance and changes. And we talk about three things. Okay, we start out with creativity as a core, and we've seen that in the old, the cultural, the historical Renaissance. We're going to add the component of spiritual depth, and that may bump up against theological you know, norms and all that, it probably will, right? Religious norms, theological norms, but spiritual depth. Because again, we very much come from a place that life is about and life is lived through and in spiritual means, through spirituality. So creativity, spiritual depth. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about these. And the last thing is a passion to just flat out make it so. Picard, right? Just make it so. So it has to move from your creativity and your spiritual depth, and you may have both, which is awesome. But at the end of the day, if we're going to move the needle, you got to have a passion to make it so.
You got to have a passion to get out of the 4% universe we live in. We are in a universe that's about 4% of reality. 96% is what scientists would call dark matter or dark energy. It's the unknown. It's the mystery. And if you're living in 4% and defining everything by that, you're going to have to come to the edge and go, something greater. God's more God here. There's more life. There's more love. There's more opportunity. There's more wisdom. It's out there in that 96% universe. We haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg yet.
It's a space in the space. You know, for years, right, science told us that an atom consisted of, right, proton, neutron, electrons going around it, right? And we saw this cute little diagram and all this stuff, which was true.
Dig a little deeper.
Okay, which was true. Until we were able to see differently, and now we started looking at this, what we thought was space, empty space, and it's not. And not only is it not empty space, I know we're going off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I'm just going to give you a little primer. It's not, not only is it not empty space, but it's not definable space either. It is reactive space based upon, to a large extent, observation. And so you can't say it moves in a particular pattern because you have to observe it first. And that boggles my mind if you want to get into this whole quantum mechanic thing and the nano stuff and all the, you know,
well,
the field.
Well, and am
and
I observing
that?
This space as a change agent or someone who's just going along with the flow? Big difference.
Right.
Because it is responding. That 96% universe, that space, is responding to my desire for something better.
Oh, wow. There's a great point that says, and it depends on the observation.
Yep.
So it's not just being observed, but it's how. And that is beautiful. That takes it even further down in there. But what it says to me is, guess what? We can be change agents, and we can make a difference by the way we think, by the intentions that we put out, by the way we interact. I mean, hopefully that excites you instead of scares the shit out of you, okay? I'm really hoping, all right? Because this is how we move the needle, gang.
Hopefully it's both. It excites you and scares you all at the same time. That's how the people on your list, they were the change agents. They weren't necessarily always comfortable. Their knees were knocking, and they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah,
you're and right. God goes, what took you so long?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, in the Marvel comic world, you would call that going subatomic.
Oh, this is true.
Right?
Subatomic.
Going down to that level.
Yeah. There's lots of stuff going on down there, gang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Things that we don't know.
There's more going on at that level than there is out here.
Right. That's right. And again, to me, that's awe and wonder. That just brings the divine even more so into the equation. Science, to me, doesn't disprove more and more the existence of, quote, God or the greater power. In most cases, for me, it affirms.
It validates it.
That's right.
Depending on your limited view of what God is.
True. Okay.
It's a threat, you know, back to the Inquisition. I'm threatened by what we're learning, so I'll squash it. But if you're open, if your God is bigger than that 4% universe we live in, oh, look out.
Agreed.
We haven't even touched it yet.
And
it's beautiful.
That's exciting. I don't know about you guys. That just jazzes me. Right? What are we going to say? Right? So let's go back then. Let's flesh these out a little bit more. Creativity. So, you know, you that's a common word. You know, you're going to draw a picture of a tree in second grade and, you know, you're going to take art classes, or maybe you're going to play an instrument or whatever it might be. And those are all creative things. I'm certainly not saying that they're not. But at the end of the day, to really begin a movement like, again, the old cult, Renaissance, historical Renaissance, you need to have a creative disruption. I mean, there needs to be stuff that comes into the equation creatively that disrupts the norm. Oh, the sun is the center of the universe, you know, of our solar system, not the earth. That was a creative disruption. That wasn't just an idea, right?
Well, you know, and I love being the disruptor that goes into a family or a room of people, and I let people know they're not the center of the universe either. There's a lot of people thinking they're the center of the universe. I'm going to be the disruptor to say, no, it's not all about you. It's all about us. It's all about we here.
All right, I'm done with this conversation, Brad. I'm sorry. golly, so true, right? You know, and how often have we done that? I mean, we're not pointing fingers out there.
I have to do it inside first. I have to be the disruptor of my own patterns, my own bad habits. And when I do that, then I'm obligated to do it for the world, because the world that I've discovered inside of me is so much sweeter and nicer because I was willing to have the guts to disrupt the patterns. So I guess I'll be a change agent in the world and do it in the most loving way, because I want something greater for you. I'm going to just have you considered. Have you thought about this? It may be a little uncomfortable, but just give it a shot. And then back away, detach from it, and then he's going to think about it at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's what happens.
That's when he does some of his greatest thinking.
So in the beginning of this episode, I talked about having questions, right?
Yep.
So this leads to questions lead to creative disruptions.
Absolutely.
So ask your questions. Mm-hmm. Come up with more questions.
Right.
And it's going to happen, because you're going to get people thinking. You're going to get thinking.
Right.
Right.
And, oh, yeah.
And then, it, you know, the energy starts flowing and things happen.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You've heard me say the quality of the experience will be determined by the quality of the questions, not the answers.
Mm.
We stay on our answers. We stopped movement. There's no movement at all. Now ask a question, which leads to more questions, to more questions. That's the Renaissance I want to live in.
Mm, I want some of that too. Okay, for sure. And, you know, and the idea too is this, that it's easy if you look around and you end up asking the same old questions, all right? You just regurgitate them, you know, you just stay with the herd, you stay with the norm, and everybody nods in the same direction, you get the same answers. And maybe that's the start of a little bit of an inkling, but you got to get out there and start to ask questions that you're afraid to ask, quite frankly. That's where it ought to start, you know? Because if that's the way you feel, now you know you're onto something, okay? So we get creative with our questions. We get creative with our actions. We get creative with our thinking in a disruptive way, so that one of the things we can do is now we begin to flourish in a brand new way instead of just exist, right?
So let me point something out, because if I'm thinking it, I'm just assuming there's somebody out there thinking it. Like, disruption isn't negative.
Oh, right.
In the way, but you might hear that word and think creative disruption. It sounds like a negative thing, right? It's not negative. Like, the way I'm kind of envisioning this is, it's early, 5-6 in the morning. You're out at a lake. The water is not moving. You take a little stone, you throw it in there, boom, you just disrupted that whole environment, right? And it's beautiful.
Right.
So it's not like it's a negative thing. You're just trying to, you know, make change happen. I mean,
you know, as you were talking, I'm thinking about Jesus. He walked into Jerusalem, and what's the first thing he did? He turned over carts. The carts of consciousness. Now, was that a negative thing?
Good twist.
Or was it a necessary thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to turn over the thoughts. The way you've been thinking doesn't work anymore. I'm bringing some change into into the temple.
Yeah.
You can call it negative, or you can go, oh, I'm glad he woke me up. I tell you, the people that ask me questions that make me a little bit on edge, I'm grateful for those people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will think about them at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, and go, a little pebble just got dropped into the lake of my consciousness. A cart got turned over. Maybe there's something that wants my attention.
Right.
And thanks for the person who had the guts to just ask the question and drop the pebble.
Mm-hmm. Again, either you're that kind of person or want to become that kind of person, or you're the sort of the antithesis. You take the Jesus story again. Believe me, a lot of those people who had their carts turned over, quote, weren't happy about it, all right, because you disrupted their norm. All right. And again, it just depends on where you're coming from. It depends on who, what type of countenance that you have. Are you leaning in? You know, are you receptive? I never thought about it that way before that Greg's been talking about. Right. So we've got this creativity that sort of foundationally comes into any kind of a rebirthing or a renaissance. Then we want to couple it, though, as we, you know, well, let's ponder the fact maybe that the sun, Earth revolves around the sun. That needs to be done with spiritual discernment. Even though it's a physical thing, no matter what we're talking about, we believe that you need to run it through your spiritual discernment in order to bring in a wisdom that's greater than just you.
I use the, is it kind, is it necessary, and is it helpful?
Yeah.
And if it meets that litmus test, it needs to be spoken.
Mm. That's a great filter.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is like this that? Question going to hurt somebody, or is it going to open a possibility? And then make sure my delivery is in alignment, kind,
yeah, your
necessary
intent.
And helpful.
Right. What's your intent? Right.
Right. Well, again, we have to, well, what does spiritual depth mean? You know, that kind of thing. And we talk about it a lot on this podcast, and so just listen to some of our episodes that we've already done. But at the end of the day, it's more than zero. You know, you are cultivating a connection with the divine that now begins to animate and direct you in ways that you never would have been had you not. Did that come through okay?
I get it.
Did that make sense? I kind of went, all right, was I tongue-tied there? All right. So
can you say it again?
No, sorry. Rewind, right? So you've got to be able to connect enough and cultivate that connection. It's natural. It's part of who we are, but a lot of times we're asleep at the wheel.
And so we're disconnected because of the busyness of our lives.
Amen.
We do not pause to have a more than zero moment is what we call them, right? Which all that means is I want to spend some time with the divine, with God, and it doesn't have to be an hour in a building or 2 hours reading a book or praying or watching a movie, right? It could literally be 5 seconds or a second.
It could be this thought. Right here.
Sure.
It could be a breath.
Yeah.
Right.
Simple.
Right.
I got John Mayer going through my head. Say what you need to say.
Yeah.
You don't know what you need to say until you get quiet and you pause, and then you hear the voice of God, maybe as John Mayer.
Well, here's what we're saying. That in whatever way you want to choose, and it's as Stu said, as I've already said, as we've all said, it's more than zero. And it can happen in all sorts of different ways, but their need, I'm talking need, it's not optional. There needs to be some contemplativeness involved in your life.
Thoughtfulness.
For sure.
Right?
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, that you got to stop the merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. You've got to stop the monkey brain.
The art of Sabbath.
Yes. And that perfect. Okay? The rest. Mm-hmm. And again, it's in the car at a moment. You that's okay. It can be a much more focused. It could be a long. It doesn't matter. We're not trying to give you the damn checklist here. Mm-hmm. All we're trying to say is if you haven't had contemplativeness, call it prayer. I don't know. Call whatever you want to call it, all right, given your bent and your disposition, then you are going to still remain to a large extent disconnected from that which is greater. Because it just doesn't happen when you're going Mach 6 with your hair on fire.
You know what I was just thinking, and bringing us into today's day and age and talking to, you know, a younger generation, is there's a lot of, like, in apps, when you're looking for something, swiping. Like I see something, I don't want it swiped to the right or swiped to the left, whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but you're just swiping, like getting to the next thing, next thing, next thing. So I'm kind of visualizing this with your thoughts, right? The monkey brain you talk about.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this thought hits me because you're not going to stop. I mean, these thoughts are going to happen, right? So you get the thought and it's like, okay, swipe that one out of the way, swipe that one out of the way. Okay, just, and it's not like you're ignoring them. It's like, okay, I acknowledge you, boom, moving on. You don't serve me anymore. And then it's like, ooh, yeah, that's, I want to stay on that one. Or, hey, I got to, you know, the spirit or God or, you know, whatever it is for you, you know, something that like, I want to spend some time there. And then, or maybe you get to a spot where there isn't anything there. That would be amazing. I can't imagine that ever happening in my mind.
That's a cloud of unknowing right there. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just imagining for people, like just swipe, swipe, swipe past them, past them, past them until you get, you know, where you want to be.
There's well, and also, I love that metaphor. You swipe left is getting rid of it, right?
I don't know which one it is. What Let's it just is. Pick.
So you go swipe left, and it comes back.
Yeah.
Swipe left, it keeps coming back. You swipe left, it keeps coming back. There might be a reason it keeps coming back into your head.
Now, that's a good point, right? If it keeps coming back, let's acknowledge it and see what's going on. Like, let's figure it out.
See, there's
right?
wisdom.
And move beyond it.
Wisdom moves into the equation.
There's the pause. Why does it keep showing up in my field? Yeah. Why does it keep showing up in my head? Let me just pause before I swipe left one more time.
Well, so
that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all good, and it all goes together. So we've got creativity, spiritual depth in our Renaissance, and lastly, we'll just mention that you've got to have a passion to, as Picard says, make it so. So again, somewhere along the line, it needs to move from the head through the heart to the hands and the feet, if I could use that, you know, analogy, right? That you got to put wheels on it.
Do you remember that commercial? It was probably 10, 20 years ago, and it was a bunch of people laying on the floor in a business environment, and somebody came in and said, "What are you doing?" "We're ideating." And that's all they were doing was ideating, and nothing was getting done. Eventually, ideating has to become action.
Yeah,
you got to move your hands and your feet and get busy.
So the challenge is, our challenge to you, you can listen to us, you can listen to all sorts of other stuff, you can read whatever you want, watch whatever you want. Our challenge, our encouragement is to make it so. Do something about it. And we'd love to hear about it, how you're doing something about it. Maybe we can come alongside you. Maybe we can find others that can come alongside you. So those are key. That's what we're talking about, our changes.
And if it seems overwhelming, more than zero. One small step.
Yep.
That's all it needs to be.
That's
something small. So for all of you out there listening to us, all of you people in the Rogue Nation, your ongoing mission, should you choose to accept it?
Yes.
This.
Well,
you guys ready for this?
I'm ready, man. Bring it.
Decide to go rogue. Find like-minded barbarians.
Oh, yeah.
Strap on the armor. Storm the gates. And unleash the unthinkable.
Amen.
Okay. And no, you're not alone in doing it.
Yeah.
The universe is rushing in to provide like-minded people who are ready to go on the train with you.
They're out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's change and choice and choo-choo.
So let's get on the train, gang. We love to have you go with us. We appreciate you listening. Thanks so much. Hey, guys. Wise guys. Thanks a bunch, man. Thanks a bunch tonight for all the wisdom. And we'll do it again on our next episode come next week, where I think we're actually going to talk and really play out this last make it so. And we're going to give you, everybody talks about, you know, well, we're not happy with A, B, and C. Well, you know what? We're going to land the plane a little bit on maybe an alternative, but at least we've been creative enough to think about where we might want to go. So tune in. We appreciate it. Have a great week and take care.
Wow. You made it and can now unbuckle. Thanks for listening to Changes, where we challenged you to turn and face the strange. As the David Bowie lyrics say, a new renaissance is upon us. Are you willing to be one of the enlightened ones that will further the cause? Remember to visit the website at www.gorogue.life for lots of follow-up information. See the show notes for any links to episode content. And join us in the ongoing cafe conversation where we post some thought-provoking ideas and challenges for your roguish conversations. Oh, and of course, tell everyone you know about us and like, follow, and engage. Be sure to tune in next week when Mac unleashes another unthinkable conversation. That is, if you dare.